Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Targeted Talks. I'm your host, Nicole Tucker. In this special episode, Dr. Mohammed Salhab, a medical oncologist and hematologist at National Jewish Health, and Christopher Fine, a cardiologist at National Jewish Health, discuss cardiotoxicity from immune checkpoint inhibitor therapy in patients with cancer. Dr. Fine begins the talk.
And so Dr. Salhab, we'll start by talking about, immune checkpoint inhibitors. And so especially from a cardiologist perspective, where this isn't my primary discipline, it's something that I evolved a love for through the course of my training. I know that the realm in which immune checkpoint inhibitors play a role in cancer treatment now have dramatically increased, especially over the last 5 years. I remember early on, you were treating it essentially for certain types of lung cancer and then melanoma. And that was essentially it at the beginning. Maybe it would be third, fourth line in other cancer treatments, but fast forward, now they've become so sophisticated, we're seeing them as frontline treatments in a number of cancers. And from my perspective in the cardiology space, we've had a growing appreciation of adverse cardiovascular events or cardiotoxicities in the midst of these medications, some of which are being used indefinitely in some cases of metastatic disease. I'm finding that, historically, there was a big focus on myocardial tissue inflammation called myocarditis. Roughly on the prevalence of 1% is what we thought was initially. That's more fulminant cases, life-threatening. If this were to be the case for patients, sometimes the mortality would be as bad as a coin flip. Now, with it being on our radar more significantly, we're seeing that the prevalence could be as high as 5% in subclinical or early stage cases where treatment is still indicated. But on top of myocarditis, since we're modulating the patient's immune system and atherosclerotic disease is pro-inflammatory condition, we're seeing accelerated atherosclerotic disease kind of in the heat of the moment within the first 6 to 12 months, but also years after the fact. We're also seeing some evidence of increased risk of atrial arrhythmia, like atrial fibrillation, atrial flutter, things like that, that could affect quality of life and myocardial function long-term. So this segues into the importance of a multidisciplinary approach when it comes to the care of a patient receiving cancer treatments, one of which being immune checkpoint inhibitors, not just from an oncology standpoint or a cardiology standpoint, but from a pharmacy standpoint, a nurse care manager standpoint, a social work standpoint, et cetera. And so what I would say, and my initial question for you, Dr. Salhab, would be, where have you found the role of a cardiologist playing the biggest impact of a cancer patient's treatment in your own experience?
Absolutely. So, the approach to multidisciplinary care approach has became the best approach to treat patients with cancers, and that will implement having multiple team members. As you said, it's not only the providers, but can be also social workers and other specialties. And this is when all the specialties come together to help the patient and tailor the care to the best care for taking care of the patients. And I think in the last decade, the cardio-oncology specialization has became, and really, really this improved the cancer outcomes by optimizing the cardiovascular risk in general. And that helped us to reduce the interruptions in cancer care or cancer treatments that secondary to cardiovascular disease. Most of the patients can be elderly, have a pre-existing cardiology or cardiac problems. At the same time, as you mentioned, some of our treatments, even the old intravenous chemotherapy and immunotherapy recently, and even targeted medications can affect the heart. And this could lead to delays in care as well as interruptions and could affect the outcome to patients. I would say having that approach also is very important, as we just mentioned the addition of immunotherapy has become actually part of every cancer treatment at this point. And this is less toxic in our opinion to the body, but also we have a great outcomes and improved survivals. And also we've noticing our patients are living longer. And this is when also wanting a help from a cardiologist or cardio-oncologist in particular to help the long-term after treatments too, or if we need a long-term treatments. as our patients are living longer, and this is a blessing with the current era of those treatments. As you said, the more we use immunotherapy now, we used to use it only for non-small cell lung cancer in the beginning. Now we expanded that to every single cancer. And the standard of care for multiple cancers has become either immunotherapy, even as a first line, or actually a combination with chemotherapy and immunotherapy, which will increase risks of cardiac toxicities. And having this approach and early communication, early introduction, and being part of the team from early on, that will help identifying risk factors, previous pre-existing problems, as well as to help manage ongoing problems to prevent any interruptions in the care. As you said, immunotherapy, most of what I've seen is myocarditis, pericarditis in general. That's kind of most of my practice, but we started to see new arrhythmias that even as practicing oncologists, we did not expect to see as much from that. Again, our patients are living longer with better medications these days, so we expect more kind of comorbidities or side effects from the treatment. So I think having a multidisciplinary team approach is always the best way to care for patients.
We'll be right back with our special episode of Targeted Talks.
This is Dr. Robert Ferris, Editor-in-Chief of Targeted Therapies and Oncology. Check out our next issue for expert insights on oncology care and the latest clinical updates.
There's a few instances where we find ourselves in a difficult position with continuing the immune checkpoint inhibitor, not just on the short term, but the long term. In my personal experience, the most significant situations where we would need to stop the checkpoint inhibitor essentially indefinitely is where we have symptomatic myocarditis or inflammation of the heart muscle because of the immune checkpoint inhibitor. Now, checkpoint inhibitors in general can lead to a number of pro-inflammatory states in different body and different organ systems. So you can have colitis of the colon, so inflammation of the lining of that. You can have sericitis, which is inflammation of the lining of the abdomen. Pleuritis, inflammation of the lining of the chest cavity. And also pericarditis, which is the lining of the heart, and myocarditis, the heart muscle itself. As we mentioned previously, if myocarditis were to be identified because of a checkpoint inhibitor, mortality can be as high as 50% if the myocarditis has led to something called heart failure, where it's become so significant that abnormal heart function happens, leading to the patient needing to be in the hospital. In those cases, we stop the checkpoint inhibitor in the heat of the moment, and we also find it difficult to recommend continuing that long-term just because the risk of it happening again, despite alterations in treatment dose, whether it be the specific checkpoint inhibitor we're using, it's still high enough to not want to push the envelope. Now, there are more subtle cases where the patient can present even asymptomatically for routine follow-up. We obtain an EKG, which is pretty routine in practice universally, whether it be in oncology clinics or cardiology clinics. And we see changes in the morphology of their actual heart electricity. It happens before you get clinical abnormal myocardial function. And so if that were to be the case in certain instances, we could get sophisticated imaging, mostly in the form of a cardiac MRI, to look at heart muscle specifically and identify early subclinical cases. Those are instances where we can temporarily hold a checkpoint inhibitor, start a systemic steroid, mostly prednisone, methylprednisolone, things like that, depending on the severity, if the patient needs to be in the hospital or not. Most of the time they are, at least on the short term, for close monitoring to make sure things don't get worse. In those instances, we may be able to rechallenge with a very low threshold to stop again if we were to see subsequent abnormalities. Now, as far as accelerated atherosclerotic disease, not just of the coronary arteries, the arteries of the heart, but any artery in the body, this does happen with checkpoint inhibitors. That is something that we continue to evaluate for, especially if they have a pre-existing condition for such. And we treat it aggressively. We lower cholesterol, we treat high blood pressure by guidelines, we treat blood sugar. So if they have diabetes, we make sure that's the best version of itself. But then we also make sure they're on some version, if they're able to tolerate it, of a statin medication. Now, statin medications lower cholesterol, that's true, but they also have something called a pleiotropic effect, where they stabilize plaque that's already present. They calm inflammation in the plaque itself. As far as arrhythmias are concerned, it's circumstantial. As long as they don't have myocarditis and we feel confident about that, if they have a pre-existing arrhythmia that's just worse, we treat that aggressively, things like that. But that's not always a reason why we would need to stop it.
We'll be right back with our special episode of Targeted Talks.
My name is Rupesh Kotecha. I'm a radiation oncologist, the chief of radiosurgery, and the director of the Central Nervous System Metastasis Program at Miami Cancer Institute at Baptist Health South Florida. Today, we talked about pulse-reduced dose-rate radiation therapy for patients with recurrent primary brain tumors.
Read the interview with Dr. Kotecha at www.targetedonc.com.
Dr. Sahab, what are your thoughts on reasons why we would need to stop an immune checkpoint inhibitor or think about switching to a different version or dose modification?
No, absolutely. I think, those are great points. And we still trying to identify also a stopping point for checkpoint inhibitors. We also find that we might have a long-term effect sometimes, even we stop the medications. So the nice thing in just dealing with checkpoint inhibitors in general is if we have side effects, as you alluded to, that we can try to reverse it or stopping or stop the immune response by giving high dose steroids. And that is a blessing. That's something at least we can offer to try to stop the immune response. But sometimes also we've noticed that sometimes that immune response continues for a longer duration, even without the medication. Checkpoint inhibitors for a certain amount of time, because we realize there is a long-term side effects that could happen. For example, even advanced stages, treat them for a year or two and try to stop the medication. But in general, going back to a specific cardiology side effects, as you said, we try to find those early on, and some interruptions in the beginning can save us from a major or contraindication or a big side effects that lead us to stop immune checkpoint inhibitors permanently. What we run into, as you know, most of our patients have advanced stage, and we know those medications kind of a life-saving medications that prolong their life, and they make patients live longer with the least side effects. And this is where we struggle to make a big decision about, hey, this is, we need to stop it. This is a major contraindication at this point. But I totally agree with you that finding those problems early on with some interruptions and trying to optimize the cardiac, output, cardiac function, and cardiology care will help us to prevent going into major events, as you said, like myocarditis that lead us to permanently discontinue that medication, which we believe is very helpful to the cancer care as well as to prolong their life. So finding those early side effects, as we call them grade one or grade two early on, is very, very helpful and important to make sure that we do not permanently discontinue those medications for patients. But again, safety is very important too. We want to prolong patients' lives and they have a quality of life and they are not disabled while taking those medications. The goal of cancer care these days is to make cancer treatments or cancer care as a chronic disease and try to prolong life and make it less acute of a disease as it was in the past. That's why those newer medications and more targeted medications come into play these days.
And so maybe the last thing that I'll bring up from a cardiology perspective is something more on the lines of practicality. So how would I evaluate a patient on immune checkpoint inhibitors in my own clinic? How would I recommend the initial evaluation before they're even started would be in oncology clinics? There's three main things that I found to be the most helpful, two of which are blood work, one is an EKG. The blood work would be a troponin, ideally a high sensitivity troponin, one of our fifth generations. And the second would be a high sensitivity CRP, as well as an EKG. These are for baseline. This wouldn't necessarily change clinical decision making, change whether you would initiate the checkpoint inhibitor at the beginning. It's if the patient were to develop any symptoms or any abnormalities in the future that would make you suspicious for a cardiotoxicity, then you can repeat the troponin, the CRP, and the EKG and compare it to the initial values at baseline when you know nothing active was happening. This strategy has been the most effective in identifying early subclinical or even early clinical myocarditis cases so that we do only have brief interruptions in treatment, as well as not allowing the patient to get to a more fulminant course where the myocarditis itself or any cardiotoxicity itself take the patient's life before the cancer even would. Those things have been the most helpful. As far as practice goes, I see some facilities doing this, but a lot not doing it. EKGs are fairly common. I don't see the blood work or the cardiac biomarkers as commonly. And if we wait and get them after the fact, when we think abnormalities are happening, we have nothing to compare it to. So that makes the clinical decision-making of what to do with the checkpoint inhibitor. Do we push with further advanced cardiac imaging? Do they even need to be admitted to the hospital? That makes those decisions all the more difficult.
No, I understand. And I think this is a good point to know what's the baseline as we can get to into those scenarios, as you mentioned, that during the treatments, we start to have abnormalities, then we do not know exactly is this kind of caused by the treatment or like exacerbated the pre-existing problem. The problem with cancer care with advanced stage, sometimes you have to start the patients on medications as soon as possible. And this is kind of a few things that we face, especially in the community practices, that we need to get them very quickly on treatments as possible to try to control the spread of the cancer. But I think with immunotherapy in general, checkpoint inhibitors, usually also those medications takes time to really to activate and kick in. So I think we do have time to investigate further and have baseline labs before we start. And I think this is a great point. We can implement such testing as baseline, as this will help, long-term monitoring for our patients.
Especially if the treatment of choice is a dual checkpoint inhibitor treatment, which sometimes we're finding ourselves in. We know that the likelihood of cardiotoxicity with dual treatment is over twice as likely and twice as prominent than in monotherapy. So food for thought.
No, and I think that's for sure. It will help improve the patient care and patient outcomes. And, again, that goes back to the multidisciplinary team approach that we started our conversation. That really has improved the outcomes from multiple levels and improved also the patient's quality of life. You know, cancer patients is not only sick patients. They do have life to go on. And our goal is to make this as a chronic disease. So having a multidisciplinary team approach and providers will help achieve those goals.